Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Moshe Kravitz behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard on this Wednesday night. And we'll keep talking about the Phillies victory tonight, and it was a good one. They get a series victory. We'll have Jack Fritz on about an hour from now, talk some Phillies. And tomorrow we do get the schedule release in the NFL. So I put together a mock schedule. I've tried to guess the Eagles' full schedule for you. We'll bring that to you before the show ends tonight. But there's only one place to start, and it's with the joke of a playoff game that was last night in Miami. That was as bad of a no-show in an NBA playoff game, and I want to make sure I say this correctly, from even teams, okay? You know, you might get an 8-1 series, a 1-8 series. It's a sweep, and one team is just 35 points better than another on a given night. That happens. You know, we've seen NBA playoff games that are significant blowouts. But when it's a 2-2 series in the second round, to lose a game by 35 points is a disgrace. It is a disgrace what happened with the Sixers last night. And I don't want to talk about James Harden. Tyrese Maxey had a poor game. Tyrese Maxey's a 22-year-old player. That happens in the playoffs. I've been saying this for months. You know, we've put Maxey on this pedestal, and the reality of it is he's going to have 9-point games. That happens with 22-year-olds, especially, you know, guys that are not Ja Morant, right? He's going to have the ups and downs of being a young player. I don't want to hear about Doc Rivers tonight, and it's Doc's fault this. You know, we've gone so far with this Doc stuff. Doc's not a very good coach. I think anyone that's watched him coach here in Philadelphia for years would tell you that. The Sixers lost for one reason last night. Joel Embiid. We can't have it both ways in this city. We can't have it both ways where whenever Joel Embiid is really great, we throw flowers and bouquets, and he's Joel Embiid, and he's a warrior, and he's the MVP, and screw Jokic, and all this stuff. Last night, Joel Embiid no-showed. Joel Embiid no-showed, and his team followed. The Sixers lost last night because their best player decided that he was not engaged in the basketball game. Forget performance, right? You know, there's going to be bad shooting nights. There's going to be tough nights for every great player. Not everyone's going to be great every single moment. But Joel Embiid's body language last night stunk. He went down there, and I don't know why, and there's a lot of theories out there about why. Was it the MVP snub or whatever you want to call it? He found out. I don't know. I don't know why Joel Embiid was trash last night, but I know he was, and I know this. Joel Embiid's the reason the Sixers lost that game last night. He's the reason, and every single year with Joel Embiid, we do this where we have games in the playoffs. And every single year, we're trying to figure out why the Sixers lose. Well, let me give you some numbers here quickly. Okay, Joel Embiid is a worse player in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. This is not an opinion. This is a fact. Joel Embiid is a lesser player in the playoffs every year than he is in the regular season. And we want to talk about why. Well, he's usually banged up. And I wish he wasn't, but this is the reality of the player. Like, when you go through the NBA playoffs, the best teams win and championships are won because the best players win. And oftentimes, they have to persevere through injury to win. Giannis Antetokounmpo last year, did we forget that he missed time with a knee injury last year and came back and was the best and most athletic player on the floor? Never did Giannis play like that in a playoff game last year where you felt he was so out of it that his team fell down because of him. Never. That guy's a champion. Look at this year, just in this year's playoffs. Luka's missed time with an injury, he's come back and been great. Booker missed time with an injury, come back and been great. And I'm not saying this is easy. I mean, Joel Embiid's got significant injuries. Have you noticed how bad of a three-point shooter he's been, and really a non-existent three-point shooter? And he likes to shoot threes. We know that during the regular season. But he has, I mean, since he hurt his thumb, he's 1 of 13 from downtown. 1 of 13. And the one was an accident. It's a couple nights ago here in Philadelphia where he kind of shot off the top of the backboard and it fell in. I mean, he can't shoot right now from downtown. We know that. It's been obvious since he hurt his thumb. And the face situation last night, I'm sure that hurt. I'm sure that hurt when the ball kind of got blocked back into his face and he was screaming and writhing of pain on the floor. I'm sure it hurt. But when you come back from an injury and you play, it means you're cleared to play. When you come back and you are able to play, it means I have to judge you on how you're playing. And Joel Embiid did not play well last night. In fact, he was bad. 215-592-9494. The Sixers lost last night because of Joel Embiid. Agree or disagree? Joel Embiid's the biggest reason why the Sixers are now down 3-2, that they went last night and they had a no-show in that game against Miami. And it's frustrating because Joel Embiid's supposed to be the biggest reason why they always have a chance. He's their best player. He's one of the best players in the league. He finished second in the MVP for a reason. Let's hear from Joel Embiid last night on what went wrong against the Miami Heat.
Yeah, that's just like tonight. We weren't focused enough. We didn't play hard. We didn't follow the game plan. It was just too easy for them offensively. We didn't move the ball. I don't think we shared the ball like we have been sharing the ball. And so we just, like I said, we just got to be locked in and, you know, play like we played those last two games before this one.
Excuse me? It's a lot of we's in there. Like, who's the leader of the team? Who's the best player on the team? There's not 50 players out there where Joel Embiid can't control the situation. In no sport does one player control the flow of the game more than basketball. The best player on the court in basketball for their team controls all that stuff he's talking about. Joel Embiid's almost talking about it like I'm talking about it. Like, I'm sitting on my couch or sitting here at WIP last night watching the game. Yeah, I could have said those same things. I would say they, he could say we. He's part of it. I'm watching just like you are. But Joel Embiid is part of it. Like, he recognized all those things he's saying as it's happening. He could have changed it. He could have went out there and changed that. I'm not saying the outcome would have been different. They got down by a lot, and it was kind of a snowball effect at some point. But talking about not following the game plan, not being engaged, Joel, they're following you. You're the leader. How about Joel Embiid before they even got on the court last night? Listen to this report. Chris Haynes last night talking about Joel Embiid's energy, body language, and everything before the game, which obviously carried over to during the game. Yeah, what that is embarrassing for Joel Embiid. 215-592-9494. I blame last night completely on Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is the biggest reason why the Sixers lost last night. We can't pretend that this guy's in the same class as these great champions that we talk about when we hear stuff like that. Have you ever heard that Giannis Antetokounmpo's energy was down before a game? Or Kevin Durant, who we know is moody, didn't bring it during the game? No, we never hear this stuff about them. I mean, that's ridiculous. And I can't get into the guy's head. I don't know. And we'll play for you some theories on why, and Chris Haynes kind of threw it out there, the MVP stuff, why he might have been down. I don't care. I mean, honestly, I don't care if Joel Embiid is upset or not if he won the MVP award. I mean, I don't care. And if he's actually upset, he's got to check himself at the door. Like, what is this about? What is this about? I mean, Joel Embiid last night, you heard it there from a guy who's standing on the court talking to the guy, small talk before the game, shoot around, all that kind of stuff yesterday morning. His energy was low. Dude, if you're sick, tell the trainers. If you can't play because you're hurting, tell the trainers. But if you're going to go out there and give half-ass effort, I don't want you on the court. In the NBA more than any other sport, the only thing that rivals it even a little bit, is the NFL quarterback. If your star player goes out there and is mopey and is, not giving full energy, you're cooked. And the Sixers more than any other team, I think still left standing in the playoffs, feed off of the energy of their best guy more than any other team. Any other team. Other teams are a little deeper, a little more veteran, a little more professional. This team, they go as Joel goes. It's the way this thing goes. When he's engaged and he's blocking shots and he's playing defense, they feed off of that. And last night, they didn't. And Joel Embiid was awful. 215-592-9494. I blame last night completely on Joel Embiid. Agree, disagree. I mean, that last night was one of the most disappointing efforts by a playoff team. Certainly, you know, a playoff team with some expectations. I mean, for all that, you know, I thought, and I said it this week, that the win on Sunday night on Mother's Day, when they won that game four, and, you know, and they were able to kind of withstand every Miami Heat run and make sure they didn't lose that lead, I was impressed. I was impressed Sunday night. It felt like for the first time, maybe this team had turned a corner. And Joel's defense was excellent on Sunday night. It felt like Sunday night could have been a turning point for this team, for this group. And they went right back. And you know what they told us last night, or they showed us, I should say? They showed us why nobody can seriously take the Sixers seriously as a title contender. I mean, you can't. And I know they could win, you know, tomorrow night. The whole team has won every game in this series. But honestly, could you take the Sixers seriously as a championship contender after that crap that you saw last night? That wasn't even a basketball game. That wasn't even a game where you felt at any moment, like, all right, just give it a second. And that's, you know, we know the way playoff games are. It's about runs. It's about back and forth. As long as you're within a certain distance, you feel like, you know, all right, if we just keep it here, we've got a chance. I never felt last night, after early in the game, that they had a chance. That they had a chance at all. Joel Embiid last night was minus 29 while on the court. It is the worst plus minus of his postseason career. I mean, that's pretty hard to do. Minus 29. You're telling me that was full effort, that was engaged all in mentally and physically, Joel Embiid last night? It wasn't. I know Joel is like Teflon in this town. No one wants to criticize. No one wants to love Joel Embiid. He's a great player. He's a great player. And he had a great season. But last night, he's responsible for a playoff blowout. It's not Doc Rivers' fault that Joel Embiid is low energy. I mean, that's Joel Embiid's fault. The bottom line is this. If you don't feel yourself and you can't play, get out of the game. Get out of the game. I'd rather put Paul Reed in. I'd rather someone else on the court that's actually there mentally and physically, because Joel Embiid last night was not. 215-592-9494 to vent. Joel Embiid last night stunk. The Sixers stunk. This series is 3-2. And before we go to the phone lines here, I want to point this out because I thought this was really interesting. I'm not sure, Moshe, if you saw this, but I thought it was really interesting. So Harrison Sanford, he's the guy who does that podcast with Danny Green. What do they call it? The Green Room? Is that Danny Green's podcast? So Harrison Sanford is his podcast partner. And I always think it's interesting when you have an athlete who hosts or does a show, it could be a TV show, radio show, or a podcast, with a current athlete. Because when those people, not the athlete, but the host, the partner in the podcast or whatever, has an opinion, I always wonder, like, is that really their opinion? Or are they getting that from the person that they do a podcast with? And maybe it's like off the record, but they hear it. I always wonder that kind of stuff. And last night, and I don't typically follow Harrison Sanford's tweets, so I don't know if he's always critical, but he was really critical of Joel Embiid last night. And it made me think, and it made me wonder if that kind of stuff has come from Danny Green in the past. If Danny Green has kind of said, hey, you know, sometimes Joel, you know, energy's not there, mentally's not there, and we kind of go as he goes. So last night, Harrison Sanford does the podcast with Danny Green. He tweeted, as Chris Haynes pointed out, we play the audio for you of Chris Haynes and his report. Joel Embiid's energy level has been low since this morning's shoot-around. His energy is contagious for whatever reason, and it showed to start this game. Same thing happened in the Raptors series after his thumb. He's right. Same thing happened in the Raptors series. When the Sixers lost that game at home to send it back to Toronto, that's exactly what happened in game five of the series against Toronto, where they had no energy and Embiid was all, didn't want to play defense, didn't want to be physical. Joel Embiid has to wake up. And if he physically can't do it, check out, man. Like, I just, the way it's always been for me as a sports fan is if you are on the court or the field or the ice, I'm going to judge you just like everybody else. I mean, I recognize Joel Embiid is hurt, but he's cleared to play. He's playing through this. No one's forced him to do it. You can't go out there and give that kind of effort last night. It was pitiful. 215-592-9494. Did you think it was Joel's fault last night they lost that game? I do. I put that loss squarely at the feet of Joel Embiid. Mosh, what'd you think last night? That was a really disappointing effort.
So here's the thing with Embiid. Because people aren't talking enough about the fact that he's probably still dealing with post-concussion syndrome, which means that he's still getting headaches from every little impact and overexerting himself. And it's incredible that he's on the court. But that's not what the issue was last night.
No, it wasn't.
The issue was he let the loss of MVP get to him and, you know, get him down in the dumps when guys like Michael Jordan and Giannis and LeBron James and Kevin Durant and all of the other elite players in the game now and before the game would say, I just lost the MVP. I'm going to go out and prove why I should have won MVP.
Yeah, a bleep game.
A title
yeah.
in the meantime.
Yep.
That, you know, look, I think that Embiid is going to struggle with his energy levels for the duration of the playoffs as long as the post-concussion stuff is still bothering him. Because as somebody who has dealt with a multi-month concussion that was supposed to just be mild, it can go on for a lot longer than people realize. But that's not what it was last night.
No.
Joel Embiid needs to take that and turn it into motivation and not be sad about it.
Yeah, you know what? And he's responsible for the energy of this basketball team. And you know what? That's a big responsibility. I get it. That's one guy. But that's his role on this team. He's the earth, the moon, and the stars for the Sixers. If he's moping around, the role players mope around. James Harden mopes around. Like, he's their guy. And it's like he's got to recognize that responsibility. And look, I can't get in his head. Moshe can't get in his head. We'll play what TNT was saying last night. If it really was about the MVP, shame on him. I mean, like, shame on him because it's childish, man. Like, it's an award. Get real. Like, get real.
And look, you have to give Embiid credit for playing through a broken face and a concussion.
Sure.
Like, it is. That is not easy.
He's physically tough. We know that. Yeah.
Warrior, all that kind of stuff. You got to give him credit, but like, how many times during, I'm blanking on the name of it now, that Michael, The Last Dance, that Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls documentary, how many times was there some sort of trash talk and then they panned to Jordan today saying something along the lines of, and I took that personally, and he goes out and drops 50
right.
points.
Right. And you know what? It's the playoffs. I know now Embiid's injury that he's currently dealing with the face is obviously a different kind of injury. It's not your typical ankle or knee. But players get hurt at this stage of the season. I mean, again, last year Giannis hurt his knee significantly and came back and played. We didn't hear about the knee at all. He just went out and won the finals MVP. Luka got hurt in the playoffs, his comeback. He's playing. Are we hearing about, you know, his injury yet? No, he's playing basketball again. You think his injury is completely healed? You think, you know, Devin Booker's hamstring's completely healed? It's the playoffs. I don't want to hear about it. Like, we don't hear about it when he's playing well. Games 3 and 4, Joel's back. He's a tough guy. Yeah, wow. He has a bad game. It's like, well, he's hurt again. Well, dude, if you're out there, you're going to play. He lost that game for them last night. He was awful. Joe is at Glenside. Hey, Joe.
Hi. I don't know if you guys really believe the crap you're saying or if you're just trying to stir the pot, because that guy, that Joel Embiid, is an animal. He's out there playing with a bad back, a broken face, a broken thumb, and he's still playing, and he scored the most points of any Sixers.
He was awful last night, Joe. He was awful.
You know who was awful? James Harden was awful. Maxey was awful. Niang
Joe,
was awful.
Joe, please don't mention George Niang. Joe, there's 10 George Niangs on Market Street right now walking around. He doesn't matter. He doesn't matter.
Well, when you're kicking the ball out of bounds,
he doesn't matter. They lost. Joe.
Those guys on Broad Street aren't in the game.
Joe.
Those guys aren't playing.
The role players don't lose games by 35 points. When your star player is disengaged, he was disengaged. Joe, did he give good effort last night?
Joe, stop it. Who played with a broken face? Who's out there with a busted thumb? None of them other guys aren't.
Joe, if it's too much, he shouldn't play. He's playing, so I'm gonna talk about how he played.
Too much. I'm saying the guy's got heart. He's got heart. He was out there.
No. I don't want to hear about his heart after last night because if he had heart last night, he would have brought effort. He was awful last night.
Too many turnovers. too many missed shots.
Stop making excuses for him. Why?
I'm not making excuses for him.
You are. You are. You're downplaying the
facts.
Joe, do you realize that his effort last night was embarrassing? That's how what his effort was.
He's the only guy out there playing with a with
then don't play. I don't want to hear the excuses anymore. It's every single postseason. Every single postseason.
How did Tobias Harris do?
Tobias Harris is a bum, Joe.
How did he do? So he's out there playing with all these injuries, and he's playing with a pile of bums? God bless him.
Then you know what, Joe? If that's how you want to treat the star player, like it doesn't matter because he's trying his hardest.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter.
No,
I'm
it does. It's almost like it's almost like we treat Joel Embiid in the playoffs as if it's like a kid. Like, oh, he's trying his best.
You've been listening to WIP today. Nobody's treating him like a
Well,
kid.
You are, but you are, Joe.
No,
I'm tired of it. Every postseason, he's got boo boos and he's hurt. Every postseason. Like either
so does everybody else probably
right
probably
and but guess what
do.
Guess what, they play through it, they play well, and we don't hear about it every freaking post game.
They're probably going to win tomorrow, or yeah, they're probably going to win tomorrow.
Is he going to have better effort tomorrow? You think Joel's going to play with some effort tomorrow?
I think they're all going to play with effort.
Yeah, well,
tomorrow.
I hope so. I mean, Nick, Joe, I mean, we're on the same page here.
A bunch of missed shots. That's all I
Yeah, I hope the star player actually shows up tomorrow because he didn't show up last night. Joe, we appreciate the phone call. It's every postseason. Well, he's hurt. Oh, well, he's hurt. He's hurt every postseason. Okay, like this is the best player. This is the guy, like, we can't have it both ways. You can't argue he's a warrior and he should have been the MVP and then excuse an awful performance last night. I'm serious. If that's the kind of effort, and I'm talking about mental effort, I'm talking about going out there and giving real effort on the court. If that's what he had in him last night, he should have stayed in Philadelphia and watched on television. If that was what he had in the tank last night, he should have stayed and watched the game on TV. Because his effort early in that game, it was like he didn't want to be there. And like when you're hearing people, sideline reporters saying he's got low energy all day, when you're hearing Danny Green's podcast partner talk about how it affects the whole team, that's not for no reason you're hearing these things. It's bad. Kay's in Cherry Hill. Hey, Kay.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Kay, what are you thinking, man?
Hey, listen. It sounds like we're all frustrated at the loss. But I got to be quite honest, man. Like, Embiid has done everything the city's asked him to do. And I don't know if you ever had been heartbroken, Joe, but the kid is heartbroken. His face is broken. His thumb is broken.
But why is he heartbroken? Why is he heartbroken?
Because he lost the MVP.
But Kay,
that's not it. Well, hold on. Hear me out, Joe, because I know you on Embiid right now, and I feel you because I'm mad too. But this is what you have to understand. Yo, that's a shot to the gut, and you're already got a concussion, and your face is hurt, and your thumb is broke, and now your pride is hurt. He's hurt. He's most physically and emotionally, and on top of that, it's easy, Joe, for you to say, "Oh, I don't want to hear about Niang. Oh, I don't want to hear about Harden. Oh, I don't want to hear about Doc Rivers. I don't want to hear about any of the guys that he should be able to count on the one time in the season where he needs a little backup." They should be like, "Oh man, you lost that MVP. We got you, man. We're gonna go out here, Harden. I'm gonna give you 40 tonight." Like, where's the backup? Out of all the guys on that team, who's the only guy that gave us what we asked him? We said he was lazy. He got in shape. He said he wasn't getting physical. He got physical. He did everything Philly wanted him to do. He did everything Shaq wanted him to do. Charles, Shaq, rooting him on, lead the league in scoring. You get robbed. Then you get to the game, and you can't count on nobody. Like, come on, man. Nobody's perfect, Joe. It's easy for you to sit back and say,
no, I mean, Kay, no, it's, you know, I understand. I understand people aren't perfect, but you know what he's not, Kay? He's not a championship player. That's my problem. Yeah. Problem is because we need him to be, right? The only way they're ever going to win anything is if he becomes a championship player. And I don't think championship players go out and mope during a playoff game like that last night.
Listen, it's a new generation. And I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, Joe. But it is a new generation. But I got to ask you this. You say he's the reason that they lost game five in that. May kind of be true, but without him, there is no game five.
Well, I recognize that. I mean, I recognize that.
Like, come on.
Right,
you can't delete all the factors. He's got to lean on his brothers. He's got to lean on his team.
Kay, I hear you on that, and I agree that there's no game five if he didn't come back, and I preach the phone call. But we have this weird thing. We don't talk about NBA players like that, then we want to excuse Joel Embiid. Did anyone ever talk about J.R. Smith and Booby Gibson and Drew Gooden? Like, when LeBron James didn't win titles, who got blamed for it? LeBron James. Okay? That's the way the NBA works. Like, if Joel Embiid never gets to a conference finals, never makes the finals, doesn't win a title, do you think we're going to talk 15 years from now about George Niang? No, like, we're going to forget who that guy was. That's the way it works. Like, Joel Embiid is trending towards, you know, being the Patrick Ewing of this era.
The Charles Barkley.
Right. Great players, but they don't have rings on their fingers. And, like, do we ever talk about those guys' teammates as why? No, we say they were great, but they weren't quite great enough.
Yeah, and look, in the first two games, I was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter who was harping on my comments about how James Harden wasn't doing enough. He needed to be more aggressive. Putting up less than 20 shots a game wasn't enough.
Right.
The Sixers were going to have a chance of winning. And his responses were, no, they were losing because George Niang and Danny Green and all of these other guys weren't making open shots. It was like, those guys aren't expected to be the reason that you win games.
They're role players.
James Harden looks washed, and he can't get it to the second gear, and that's why they lost. And look, Joel Embiid may have been the best player for the Sixers last night. If you want to make that claim, fine. I'm not going to dispute it. If you want to say he had the most energy, fine. I won't dispute it. But look at his energy in games 3 and 4, and then compare it to game five and how he played in game five. And once again, I think that we need to be more conscious of the fact that he is playing through a concussion. I think that is incredibly admirable. But one thing changed between games 4 and 5. He lost the MVP. And maybe what that last caller was saying about how different generation, you know, they handle things differently, then, you know, if that's Joel Embiid's attitude, then Joe, you're right. He's not a championship player. I think Joel Embiid still can be a championship player, but last night was not a point in that column.
No.
Because if you get rejected by something, you can mope around or you can do something about it and prove the other person wrong.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that he's heartbroken. I mean honestly,
the last thing I want.
Yeah, I don't care. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Last night's loss I put on Joel Embiid. Agree, disagree, as the Sixers get blasted in Miami by 35 points. We'll come back, hear what Charles Barkley had to say, both at halftime and after the game last night, because he certainly believes that Joel Embiid did bring that kind of effort because of the MVP situation. And we do have the updated MVP voting, so we'll throw that in the mix as well. We have the actual voting for the MVP. We know Jokic won this thing, and Embiid finished second. We'll give you the voting. How far was Joel away from Jokic? We'll give you that. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. I blame Joel Embiid for last night's loss. Agree or disagree? We'll discuss on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Moshe Kravitz behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Is how you hop aboard. Vent, yell at me, yell about Joel Embiid, whatever. Because last night was a disaster. 35-point loss for the Sixers. Tomorrow night, game six, they try to stave off elimination. Or who knows, maybe they'll roll over again because they rolled over last night. I blame last night's loss on Joel Embiid and the way he came out to play. Low energy, not engaged. It was not becoming, forget an MVP, it was not becoming of a star player on a team, you know, trying to get to the conference finals. And during and after the game, Charles Barkley let him have it about, you know, if this was about the MVP, how disgraceful that is. Here is Barkley. Let's start with Barkley at halftime criticizing Embiid for what he perceives to be him not being engaged because of the MVP discussion.
When my head was in another state in the middle of the game, they would say, yo, man, get your head out your ass and play. Joel Embiid is so distracted, in my opinion, by this MVP thing. He's not there tonight.
He's not there tonight. I mean, just think about that for a second. He's not there tonight. Then after the game, Charles Barkley going further about this and, you know, saying, like, he didn't show up tonight because the MVP was in his head.
You know, I said at halftime, Joel was so distracted by his MVP stuff. He came out with no energy, distracted, and the rest of the team followed.
I'm wondering if there's more than that.
No.
I'm wondering if he's
aching?
Yeah.
Just played good the last two games.
He played okay.
He played well. He played decent.
Look, he's coming off a concussion. He got hit in the face tonight. I don't know.
He played the last two games.
I know.
He played well.
I know. I'm just wondering, man. If everything is good.
And I'm telling you, is he sick?
Is he sore from this? I don't know.
I told you this before. Nobody cares.
I'm just wondering.
Ernie, I'm just telling you my opinion.
Okay.
Because he wasn't aggressive. I don't mind you guys having a bad game. He was shooting fadeaway jumpers. He shot a three. He wasn't aggressive. I'm trying to figure. He only shot the ball
12 times.
But
7 out of 12.
Because remember, he started playing really – he also made some plays in the second half, but the game was out of control. He was distracted. The other players, you know, because they're going to follow him. Just like they did in Philly when they won the last two games. And he was out he was just out of it. And, man, I feel bad because he's a great kid. But sometimes things happen that bother you. And tonight he was clearly not there and the rest of the team followed.
That's it. I mean, that's a guy who's been an MVP in this league. That's a guy who's been in these big games, who's been in the finals. Charles Barkley sees what everyone else said. In his opinion, it's because the MVP, I don't know. I mean, Moshe brings up a good point. What changed between, you know, game 3 and 4 and 5? Well, the MVP stuff changed. And if that's it, shame on Joel Embiid. I don't really care what's going on. Now, like, if he's got something personal going on, like with his wife or a baby, that's a different thing, right? If something serious at home's going on, but barring that, and I don't think that's what's going on, if this is about basketball or injuries or the MVP, he's got to suck it up and play. I thought Joel Embiid lost the game last night because of the way he approached the game. Nick is in South Philly. Hey, Nick.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Nick, what's up, man? What are you thinking?
So I've been thinking a lot about Joel Embiid, right, and how he, correct me if I'm wrong, is the focal point of that team, right?
Totally, yep.
And he reminds me a lot of another Philadelphia great, different sport, when I think of Donovan McNabb. He was the focal point of that Eagles offense, right?
Yeah, of course he was. He was the quarterback, and you know, he had his moments, and then he had his bad moments, too.
Right. Now, the problem with that is, when you are the main player of your team, when you shine, man, you're going to go far and everyone's going to look at you and praise you. But the second something bad happens, everyone's going to be critical. And that's kind of what you ask for when you're the best player on the team.
Well, and Nick, it's especially an interesting comparison because I think the only comparison in sports that is similar is the star player in basketball and the quarterback in the NFL. They're the only ones where their performance swings the game so much.
Right. And I'm telling you, when years come, we're going to look back on this, and they're going to be the exact same player. You know, they're great in the regular season, got banged up, took the team to the playoffs on their back, and then when it got time for the big games, something always happened. And I'm sick of, you know, people saying, oh, well, the bench players and the role players, they should have done something. Man, how are, like, four bench players going to rack up 35 points? You can't count on that. That's ridiculous. it was like 15, 10 points, that'd be a whole other story. But 35 points, come on, man, get out of here. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It's excuses. People don't want to blame Embiid. And Nick, we appreciate the call. I think that's a really interesting comparison Nick just brought up. Donovan and Joel. The other part, it's funny, we played that clip, but I was kind of laughing when the mic was off, because I just love Shaq's commentary on Inside the NBA, because he's got these one-liners. And I used to think Shaq was like goofy and not that good at this when he first started. Then I've grown to appreciate he has some interesting, good stuff to say. He just has his own way of delivering it. Like in the middle of that Ernie Johnson and Barkley debate, and Ernie's kind of poking Barkley like, hey, maybe he's got other stuff going on. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's sick. I love how Shaq just jumped in there. Nobody cares. And he's right. And I think what he means is, like, history doesn't remember that crap. Like, go back to Donovan, just because the last caller brought up Donovan. I mean, when we talk about Donovan here, it is NFC title game failures. It's the Super Bowl failure, right? He had a great career. But that is always what comes up. Does anyone even talk about the fact that he had the broken ribs in one of those NFC title games? That never comes up. It's 20 years ago. But, like, what do we say, Most? We say Donovan didn't play great in those games, right? Like, Donovan didn't win a Super Bowl because he didn't come up big in the title games of the Super Bowl. We don't really talk about the fact that he was probably banged up in some of those. He had tough things. And I think history, unfortunately, and you said it, Joel still got time to change this, but if this is it for Joel, if he doesn't win a title, if it's always this, history's not going to remember all these little things. It's going to be like, oh, Joel Embiid could never get to the finals. That's the way it works.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting that you're right that when a player is injured and they end up not winning, but they play through the injury, Donovan with the ribs, Joel with this, whatever, but they lose in the end, we don't remember yep. the fact that Joel Embiid had a broken face, Don Bignat had broken ribs, whatever. But we do remember the Michael Jordan flu game, food poisoning, whatever it
Kirk
was.
Kirk Gibson or Willis Reed.
That was yeah. my next one, was yep. Kirk Gibson. You know, those games, they won on a bum leg,
right.
on whatever the injury was at the time. And once again, I think that people are not giving Embiid enough credit for pushing through what I think is a pretty severe concussion, despite it being diagnosed as mild, which just means that there was no blackout, no vomiting, and no internal bleeding. It still could be a really bad headache,
sure.
and make it difficult to do physical activity.
Well, what did he say last week? He couldn't look at his phone to watch games 1 and 2.
And that was a concussion. Yeah. I basically didn't look at screens for a month and a half, 2 months. Like, that's how tough it can be. I never had to do physical activity at the NBA level, but it was difficult for me to do more than a casual walk for a while. So I think that we're not giving Embiid enough credit for gutting that out, but it doesn't change the fact that the only thing that changed between games 4 and 5 was losing MVP, and the great players channel that into the great performances. Maybe his great performance at his current physical ability because of all these injuries isn't as good as it is when he's healthy, but it's still better than what we saw last night.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. I mean, that's it. I mean, he's better than what he put on the court last night, and that's what's frustrating about all this. 215-592-9494. I blame Joel Embiid squarely for the loss last night. Agree, disagree. Rodriguez in Middleton.
Hey
Rodriguez.
¿Qué pasó?
How are you, buddy?
Listen, I'm 62, and I watched the Sixers for 50 years, and I am so upset at the effortless of this team. And Joel Embiid, I was waiting for him to have one of these games, because he's always giving up games on playoffs where he doesn't show up. He's done this before. He's done this when he came out last year on that game where he almost looked like he was dying. We knew he didn't come to play or win. That happened last night. I couldn't finish the game. You know, I couldn't finish that last half because of the effortless situation here. And then he gets hit with the ball. He's down on the ground. To me, I don't know, it was just too much drama. He gets up about 10 minutes later and he seemed to be fine. I don't know, Muhammad Ali fought Ken Norton with a broken jaw.
and never let him know that he had a broken jaw for 15 rounds.
Yep.
Why would you lay there and be so obvious that you're hurt? It's like, what's wrong with it? Is it the generation gap? I don't know. But I was expecting this. I'm not surprised. Charles Barkley, you are absolutely right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you're not wrong. I mean, I wish you were wrong. I wish I could counter you, Rodriguez, and say, no, this never happened before. But you're right. It has happened. There has
it
been
has
these
happened.
No-shows. And that's – you can't win a championship if your best player has no-shows. You can't.
I mean, I don't even see him making a final. Let me tell you. The worst part sometimes are these fans who take the baby bottle and stick it in Embiid's mouth, babying him all the time. No. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, we know we can't have, and Rodriguez, I appreciate it, man. I always appreciate your call. We can't have it both ways. Like, we've and I think fairly, placed Embiid on a different level now. He's not a good young player. He's a great player. Joel Embiid is an MVP candidate. In fact, I got the voting here in front of me. Joel Embiid, you know, we now know, finished second. I think that was pretty obvious when we found out it was going to be Jokic winning this thing. But we now found out that Joel Embiid finishes second officially for the MVP. Here is the breakdown in voting while we're on this. So Nikola Jokic got 65 first place votes. Joel Embiid 26, Giannis Antetokounmpo 9. So those are the only three guys that got first place votes. Second place votes, Joel had the most. He had 39 second place votes. Giannis had 37. Jokic had 27. Joel ended up with 34 third place votes. Jokic had 6 third place votes. Embiid 34. Giannis 52. So it kind of fell in line. The most first place votes, Jokic, he finished first. Most second place votes, Embiid, he finished second. Most third place votes, Giannis, he had and he finished third. So fourth and fifth, Booker and Luka came in fourth and fifth. But whatever. The breakdown is whatever. But, you know, I think we've recognized here in this city, and everyone nationally has now recognized, that Joel Embiid is a special player. He's on that level. He's on a top five player in the league level, MVP candidate level. This isn't some young 23-year-old we're hoping on. Right? Like John Morant, he finished sixth or seventh. He's 23 or whatever. Like, he's pretty close, but like they're still hoping on him to become a true MVP candidate, a guy who finishes one or two and could lead a team to a championship. That's still hope and projection. It's not hope and projection anymore. Joel's in his prime. Like, this is it. This is supposed to be his best, and we're still dealing with this stuff with a no-show in the playoffs. That's preposterous. Jason is in the Poconos. Hey, Jason. Jason, there, buddy? All right, I'll put Jason. Don't hear him. We'll get him on hold. Jason in Redding is up on WIP talking to you all. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Jason. What are you thinking?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Joel's a hell of a talent. Problem is he gets too much in his emotion. And with that kind of mentality, he'll never get the MVP. You got to have that mentality like a Michael Jordan or a Kobe Bryant. You know, he's almost there, but he's not there. If he could separate himself from his distractions, he'll be there. You know, like, as far as this team goes, I still say we're one player away. You know, when they signed Harden, you know, I still said we just need that one guy, that one other guy to help out. You know, the team's good, but we're just one person away, and we need Embiid to just keep it together. You know, he just doesn't do that when he needs to.
Yeah, and it's so hit or miss. Like, Chuck, he played so well, you know, to come back in game 3 and 4, and he had the energy, and it was like, man, like, he's back, and he's playing hurt, and it was admirable. But then last night, it was like he just was totally disengaged. I mean, you think about the best players in the league. I've never seen Giannis just get disengaged from a playoff game like that. You can't do that in the playoffs.
Well, there was another thing, though, that nobody has mentioned at all. When I got home from my second job, I was watching the game. I was even watching it at my first job. And, I'm sorry, when I was watching at my second job, when I got home from it, I noticed that Embiid's mask was different. Now, I know it seems dumb, but if you looked at the replay of it or just look at it from games 3 and 4, the eye holes were bigger. And the strap was, it had a brown strap, like the strap was black, but it had like a brown thing on it. And then the mask he was wearing last night, the eye holes were smaller. So if you look at him, even at the beginning of the game, he kept fidgeting with it as if it was like in his peripheral vision. You know, so What they do? Forget the package, man.
Yeah, Jason. I have it on DVR. I was watching back this morning. I'm gonna go up tonight when I get home. And Jason, I appreciate it. I'm gonna go and look at that. I didn't notice that last night. I noticed him fidgeting with it. He hates it. I mean, I would hate it too. Who would want to wear a mask? I mean, I'm sure it's fog up, peripheral vision. It's annoying. I'm sure it's an annoying thing to wear on a basketball court. The only guy I can ever remember wearing it for more than he had to. Remember Rip Hamilton? He just kept wearing it. He got used to it.
I mean, maybe he just preferred it on, but I thought there was smoke inhalation from a fire. Like, he had to wear it for all that
he
time.
He wore it for a long time, yeah. But I'm not surprised Joel's fidgeting with it. He doesn't like it. As far as it being a different mask last night, I didn't pick up on that.
No, I didn't notice it either. And you know what? None of the superheroes in movies and stuff ever have problems with their masks.
Well, they figure it out. That's right.
Yeah.
We don't see.
Come on, Joe.
Batman doesn't know shell when there's something going on. Jason.
Batman's never fidgeting with his mask.
That's for sure. Jason, what's up, man?
Hey, sorry about that, guys. I must have placed you on mute.
That's all right. No worries.
Hey, listen. I look at it this way. I'm no MVP candidate, and I'm no Major League player, but you could become one athlete. You could become Charles Jefferson from Ridgemont High after losing the MVP, or you could become Ben Simmons, and that's who he became last night. I think he intentionally put it that way to just screw the voters, saying, listen, this is how the team looks if I don't play. What? I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow night or the next game he puts up 38. Like, now what? Now when I do play, we win.
Yeah, if that's true, Jason, then that's really shame on him because bigger than him. This is bigger than him.
Like the other caller called and said, it's a different generation. Like, he's getting paid. He doesn't care. He could be spiteful and say, hey, this is how it happens. Like there's a difference between game four and game five. What was it? He lost the MVP. So what does he do? He comes out and says, okay, well, if I'm lethargic and I'm not Joel Embiid, this is how the team looks.
That would be spiteful. And if it's the case, Jason, we appreciate the phone call. If that's the case, then I'm out on Joel Embiid totally. Like, there is... And I think you have, if you're going to be a great athlete, you have to channel this. I think there's human emotion, obviously, to every player, right? Every athlete is a human being. They have emotions. Like Barkley was saying, you get up, you get down. And he's got to find a way to keep that in check so he has to check out of games. But to do it on purpose, like our last caller just suggested, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, holy moly, we all got to grow up around here.
I did like how, Jason thought of it as the Ben Simmons response.
Right.
Because that is how Ben Simmons would respond.
Turtling up.
Turtling up, yeah.
Going the opposite way.
I mean, you're right. It's Joel doesn't need to, give half effort in a game because he lost, to prove that he should have been MVP. He's missed enough games. Everybody knows how impactful he is.
Of course. We saw game one and two of the series. He wasn't out there, and they were...
And like half of his career also.
Yeah, and I think anyone with eyes knows how good of a player he is and how impactful he is. He sets the tone for this team so much that what happened last night, I put on him. I don't care that George Niang didn't hit shots. I don't care that James Harden looked like James Harden of the past 2 months again. I don't care that Doc Rivers, he's the easiest punching bag in Philadelphia right now, and I don't think he's a good coach, but... He didn't lose that game last night. A head coach in the NBA doesn't lose a game by 35 points. Head coaches, when they matter, it's like that close game where it's a tactical thing, a timeout, a switch in the fourth quarter. That's what coaches matter. A 35-point loss, I mean, most could have been standing there on the sideline last night. Doesn't change anything.
No, I mean, Doc was begging them to put forth more effort. And when Joel got hit in the face, Doc got teed up yelling at the ref.
Yeah, that was not on Doc last night.
Not that Doc did anything to win them that game.
Right,
but there was nothing, like you were saying, there was nothing tactically he could have done.
No.
Doc tried to get the best out of the guys, and it didn't work out.
Nope. Mark is in Medford. What's up, Mark?
Hey, great show, guys.
Thank you, Mark. What's up tonight? What are you feeling?
Steven's coming all year long. He doesn't have his priorities straight. He's immature. A real MVP doesn't whine and lobby for the award all year long. I mean, Bill Russell won 11 titles. Was he out there lobbying for MVP?
I don't remember that, Mark. No, I don't remember that one.
He didn't have half the talent of Wilt Chamberlain, but he won titles. And you look at the epitome of an MVP in this town is Bobby Carr. He won three of them. and he put the team above everything. He showed up every night. He took no prisoners. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't have half the talent of Bobby Orr or Phil Esposito or Guy Lafleur, but he showed up to fight every night. And Joel's got to learn that it's the team. It's not him winning MVP.
Yeah, and you know what? It's about more than that, right? It's about you know, the playoffs and try to compete for a championship. I don't care about the MVP, Mark. I understand that he wants to win it, and he should want to win it. But if that really was in his head last night, shame on him.
It's been in his head all year long. Yeah. He's got the wrong focus.
Well, if that's
I think that's why Jokic wins.
Well, you know what? I mean, and Howard, when Howard was on last night, Mark, we appreciate it. He mentioned that the voters probably don't really care for the fact that Joel Embiid campaigned for the award. I don't care. Like, I don't care if he wins it or he doesn't. Like, I'm not going to lose any sleep either way. And obviously, we know Jokic has won this thing. What bothers me is when you have a team like this where they rely so much on Joel Embiid and how his body language is and his leadership. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's that quote in, what was it, the movie? Remember the Titans? Added to reflect leadership, captain, right? It was Gary Bertier and, Julius, when they're going back and forth. Attitude, you know, reflect leadership, right? If the attitude of the team stinks, it reflects the leadership. Who is the leader of the team? We played the cut for you a little earlier where Joel Embiid was talking about how we didn't have energy. We didn't execute the game plan. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. Why? You're the leader. Like, you sense this is happening, get your guys back in line. You can't just go with the flow when you're the best player on the court. Now, in baseball, right? Like, baseball is such an individual sport wrapped up in a team sport. There's so many. Like, Bryce Harper. I don't think Bryce Harper's a rah-rah leader. He's obviously a tremendous player, MVP last year of the National League. Like, you know, if the Phillies' pitching stinks, if the Phillies' third baseman is making errors left and right, what's Bryce Harper going to do about it? Nothing. I mean, right now he's the DH, but even normally he's standing in right field. He can have no effect other than his four at-bats. And when the ball gets hit to him in the outfield, when he's out there, he can't do anything about this. It's not the way the sport is set up. You know, in the quarterback in the NFL, the superstar in the NBA, they're the two players, the two positions in sports that could have the most effect on everybody else. They could raise all boats. That's why you have superstars in the NBA. That's why you try to find a winner and a leader at quarterback, because they raise all boats. Joel Embiid sunk the boats last night. He sunk the team last night with the way he played. Chuck is in Newark. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime, Chuck. What do you think?
I enjoy your call. I'm going to take the opposite view, and I don't have the detailed knowledge of you and your other callers, but I think Embiid's a hero. Most people wouldn't even be playing under the circumstances. And we got to stop psychoanalyzing him. But why does Harden get a free pass? And Maxey, what was he, 2 for 10? I mean, there's got to be some balance in this. Why is it 100% Embiid? Harden is the problem, not Embiid.
Yeah, but I think part of it, Chuck, and I can only speak for myself, but I think a lot of people recognize what James Harden is at this point of his career. Joel Embiid's supposed to be.
Yeah, but then you can't add to Embiid's burden because of him.
But you can. That's the point. Joel Embiid is the MVP candidate on this team. He's supposed to be great. He was bad.
But Harden was a supreme failure. We should have never traded for him.
Right, but that don't we know what we're getting out of Harden at this point? Like, obviously, Game 4 was an outlier. He does that once every 2 months.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Would they have traded for him if they knew he was going to turn out the way he has?
I wouldn't have. I mean, Daryl Morey's the one that should have recognized this. I think he just was too excited to get his friend back here. I don't know. I mean, obviously he's not played well enough, but like when an MVP candidate goes out there and plays like Joel did last night, that's who I blame.
We can't know what it's like to have a broken face and a torn ligament.
Then he shouldn't play, Chuck. Like, if you're going to take the court, I'm going to judge you on how you play.
Well, that's a fair point, but I just think there needs to be some more balance. You cannot put it all on one person.
Well, in the NBA, I think, and Chuck, I understand your point. I appreciate your phone call. In the NBA, I do think it is the way we do it. I mean, I can't go back and psychoanalyze NBA fans from the last 30 or 40 years, but isn't that like how we're all raised with basketball? It is a team game. I'm not trying to say it's not. You need to win a title, you have to have a team. But the best players, the guys that we judge and we put on the pedestal, they got to lead their team. Like if Joel Embiid had 35 last night and everybody else played the way they did, I'm not sitting here crushing Joel Embiid tonight. Joel Embiid didn't come close to that last night. Joel Embiid was horrendous. He didn't show up last night to play. I mean, I can't put it any more plainly than that. He didn't show up to play. This is a guy that 99% of the city is banging the table that he's got to be the MVP, that he got snubbed. He didn't show up in game five in a 2-2 series. I can't get past that. Rick is at Doylestown. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good evening. Yeah, just wanted to give a call. It's all great topic, and rather than go down the same path with psychoanalyzing Embiid, what I really realized watching this series as a whole is, and that's the fun part about sports talk, because you can always go back and reevaluate. You can't change the past, but you can certainly analyze it. How many titles would the Sixers be eligible for or probably win if just two things happened? Jason Tatum instead of Markel Fultz, right? Mm-hmm. One. And two, instead of giving up on Butler and signing Tobias and being loyal to Ben, just put those three players and Embiid. And then every other player that we have is on that team too.
Rick, let me throw more in there. Let me throw one more because you know you and I could create a dynasty overnight in 10 seconds here. The Sixers, I'm sure you remember, Rick, they drafted Mikal Bridges and then traded him to the Suns.
Yeah. That made no sense either. But, I mean, I just remember, like, Danny Ainge is schooling the Sixers, and we got hoodwinked on that one. And just that one, and there's so many things that you can go back and you can just change, but just two players. Because Jimmy Butler plays like an MVP, in my opinion. He plays every game just at 110% as the expression goes. But just watching him play and watch the other players around him, he brings an energy that we don't have.
Yeah, Rick, you're right. And I was someone who understood kind of the thought process, like, all right, you drafted Ben one, you're gonna kind of choose Ben over Jimmy. But it was a disaster. I mean, it was one of the worst decisions that Rick, we appreciate the phone call, the Sixers will ever make. I mean, Jimmy Butler, quality player. And, you know, he's one away from the Eastern Conference Finals. He's been to an NBA Finals with the Heat. He's a winner. And the Sixers don't have those kind of guys. Not enough of them. 215-592-9494. Come back. All your phone calls, 9 o'clock hour on the Sixers. I blame Joel Embiid the most for this loss. Agree or disagree? We'll talk to Jack Fritz on the Phillies here. Jack from the High Hopes podcast after a series victory. And coming up before this hour, before the next hour ends, we do have to have an old friend take us through a debate on mustaches and beards. And I even have a mock schedule we'll end the show with tonight. I created an entire Eagles schedule. See how close I am by tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I tried to guess the entire Eagles schedule that we'll hear tomorrow. 215-592-9494. I blame Joel Embiid for the loss. Agree, disagree. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.